Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the field of trees until the milkweed loved them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay. I'm not Todd Friel. I know that's hard to believe. We sound so similar, but it is. It's true. It's just me, Jimmy Hicks. It is little old me. And I'm in the studio today. Todd's not. He's on campus at Kennesaw State University, which can only mean this is Witness Wednesday. And we get to be a fly on the wall as Todd has conversations with university students. So let's not waste a whole lot of time getting to that. You don't want to hear me talking. You know what Witness Wednesday is. So let's jump right in and send it out now to Todd on campus at Kennesaw State University.
Hello and welcome. What are the odds that I would actually bump into my very best friend? What's your name again? I'm kidding. It's William. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. We're here chatting with William on a bench at Kennesaw State University, and you are studying political science. And here's what I need to know from you, William. What does one do with a political science degree?
Right. You know, you always hear the argument of like somebody who studies art. And you know,
what do you do?
Like, what do you do? What do you do with an art degree?
You teach it.
Yeah, you teach it, right? That's about all you can do. Mine is not looking into the application of what I can do with my political science. It is merely out of interest. We did briefly talked a little bit about me before we did this, but I'm actually also serving in the military.
Good on you. Tell me, why do you want to serve in the Marine? What branch is it?
It is the Marine Corps.
Marines. Well, see, the whisker. I knew this. Yeah, I Google things and no. Okay.
I'm telling your comment sections are going to blow up. They're going to be like, what is this guy doing?
That's why we live. Yeah, we really don't have interest in you per se. We just want views. Oh, yeah. That's what life is about.
It's the algorithm.
That is exactly it. So why would you, William, be willing to potentially risk your life for this?
Indeed. I think it's an understanding that, well, let's start off with a value system. You know, everybody grows up with a certain value system, right? My situation growing up, my parents instilled in me a very much a value system of, you know, believing in God and country.
Okay. Is this going to get religious?
This is not going to get religious. No, this is just a simple statement, right? I took that value system and I applied it in the best way that I could at the time that I knew that I could, which was, of course, joining into some kind of branch, which was the Marine Corps.
Right. So this God and country business.
Yes.
All right. Who is God?
Who is God? Who is God to anybody? I mean, God really, I guess it depends on who you view God as. Everybody has their own walk and their own journey.
Could I challenge that?
Yeah, absolutely.
This bench is actually a watermelon that we're sitting on. That's my belief. So who is this bench to me? It's a watermelon.
Good on you. I don't agree with you, but that's the good thing about our country.
But clearly, we're not sitting on a watermelon.
Yeah, clearly.
Okay, so my point would be that my beliefs are ultimately irrelevant. The question is the object of my belief true?
I don't think it's that your belief is irrelevant. Bear with me. I think it is up to me to prove that your belief is irrelevant.
All right. But for instance, if I looked at one of these buildings and said, my belief is that that building over there, Kennesaw Hall, is a bowl of prunes. No matter how much I believe that, the intensity of my faith doesn't actually make it a bowl of prunes. It's a building. And so ultimately, what I believe doesn't make it reality. How's about that statement?
So what you believe doesn't make it reality. Okay, that's fair because you're using observation, right?
I can't, by merely believing, make something so. I can't make it true, nor can I make it false, frankly. I'm either accurate in my understanding and belief, or I'm not.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you there.
All right, so who do you think God is?
You know, again, it's this...
You can just go ahead. I'm not going to be offended. Okay.
Well, no. It's fine. It's just so funny because God, you know, nowadays, in my opinion, has just become this overarching term of whomever you view God as. You know.
But I'm asking you, William, the Marine with whiskers, who is God?
Specifically, me. What do I view God as?
Your God. Oh, wait, sorry. So who do you think that God is? If you defined the deity that runs the place, who is it?
Morgan Freeman.
Okay. Well, that's a start. You got to get the voice is divine.
It's golden. It is absolutely golden.
The voice.
I would want to have a conversation. At the day that I die, I want to go up and then God's voice will be Morgan Freeman.
I suspect it'll actually be better.
Oh,
but that's
right.
Well, that's, you know, Morgan's a good guy and everything. But I think we can do better.
We are made in his image, right? So, I mean, maybe Morgan.
All right. So you just used a biblical allusion. I know that much. So
no,
you're
say,
a Christian or a Jew?
I am a Christian. Arguably not a practiced one, though. I must say I don't go to church often.
You grew up in a Christian home.
Yes.
Very specific question for you, William. The Christian faith, the core of it, the center of it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. As succinctly as you can, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Go.
I would view the gospel of Jesus Christ, in my understanding, would be his teachings. What it is that he taught and what it is that he embodied.
In a sentence, what did he teach?
I would have to say that he taught reservation in humanity, being the attempt to be as pure as you can be, you know, in terms of like the idea of human existence.
So my question then for you would be, do you think that you have attained the purity that he taught?
No, never.
And is there any consequence for failure to meet God's standard of purity?
I don't, on the surface, I don't think so. I don't think there is consequence purely because of the nature of his death. As a Christian, he did die for our sins. You know, did he not? I mean, the man was nailed to a cross basically to stand for all of humanity's sins. So, yes, there was a retribution in the sense, but it was through him that there was.
So, even though you failed, you would be considered a guilty person in the eyes of God. You're not going to be guilty because a man 2,000 years ago died on a cross. Is that what you're telling me?
For a Christian faith, yes.
So that dying on a cross 2,000 years ago, does that work for everybody, or is there a key to receiving that forgiveness?
You know, indeed. Don't quote me on this, of course.
Well, actually, you're going to quote yourself.
I am kind of quoting myself, aren't I? Because we're on video. It's weird how that works. Sorry, this is like my first time. It's crazy. This is a great experience, too.
We're here to help.
Yeah. Thanks for facilitating. I must say that God loves all his children. This is like just a childlike view of Christian faith, okay? I have to say, like, God, that is where I'm at on my walk. So God loves all his children, but I suppose all of his children don't know God. And the only way to know God truly, is my understanding, is through baptism.
So let me ask you a question, William. What you just described for me actually seems cosmically like a very big deal. You just told me that a man's death 2,000 years ago makes me pure, which means I do not have a consequence for my lack of purity. That's a big deal, if it's true. So do you believe that what you just told me is true?
To a degree, yes. But we also need to keep in mind the difference between cosmic accountability and cultural and relative accountability, right? So like if I were to go and commit some act of evil, cosmically, right? As you said, God, or, you know, the person who died for my sins, there has been retribution due to his being on the cross, right? Although socially or societally, there needs to be accountability.
But what I'm saying is, you just told me that I can be pure in the eyes of God. That statement alone, because Jesus Christ died on a cross 2,000 years ago. Is that true or not true?
I firmly believe with Christian faith that that is true.
That is true. So you're telling me, as you sit on this bench, you believe Jesus Christ actually existed and actually died for your sake?
I hope so.
So then you also said to me earlier, though, that you're not really, like, sure where you're at, or you're not that into, I don't want to mischaracterize,
no,
but you don't go to church much, etc.
No.
But if that what you just told me is objectively true, not subjectively, not because William likes the idea or because Bob or Sally likes the idea, but it, that actually happened, that's an objective truth, wouldn't that affect your life somehow?
I believe so, yes. Although I don't think we think about that often. You know, you coming here and asking me these questions are really making me kind of think like, wow, I truly don't think about this too often. I'm so bogged down with the ongoings of like school life, you know, whatever it is. This is just something that isn't really thought about. You're bringing up great points.
Is it possible that perhaps you do not esteem what you just described as a very big deal because perhaps you don't think that becoming pure is all that important?
Because we view Jesus Christ as already restoring our purity.
Well, that would be a possibility. Or you just don't think that you're that impure. So, you know, he kind of took maybe a dish rag and cleaned me up a little bit, but it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right. So we're kind of talking on terms of like vanity, maybe. Like one doesn't think that he's impure. He's good to go. There's no reason for it.
Let me tip my hand on something, William.
And stop. Yep. That's what I like to call a cliffhanger right there. Did it work? Are you sitting on the edge of your seat just waiting for us to get back and for Todd to tip his hand? What does that mean? What is he going to say? What is he going to reveal? How is William going to react? The suspense is driving us nuts. Well, find out how it all fleshes out right after this. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You know, you can love the Lord with absolutely everything in you and still go mute when somebody asks you, how do you even know the Bible is true? You feel the answer deep down. You just can't put it into words. The reasons go deeper than most of us were ever even shown. Skeptics know that too. That's why they start in Genesis and then they work backward. Because if you crack the foundation, then everything built on top of it will start to wobble. But when you trace the logic and the morality and the science all the way down, you find the very same thing every single time. Reality only makes sense if the Bible is true. And Dr. Jason Lyle has spent his entire career studying the universe. And in his new series, Irrefutable Proof of Creation, he asks the hard questions about God and turns doubt into confidence. Irrefutable Proof of Creation is streaming right now on Fortis Plus with new episodes dropping every week. Download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
369 million. That's how many people are a part of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. And if you've never heard of it, that's part of the problem. Maybe you have heard of Jesus culture. Maybe your teenager listens to their worship music. Maybe your church sings their songs on Sunday morning, but you don't know what they actually teach and where it leads. Drunk in the Spirit pulls back the curtain on one of the most destructive forces in Christianity today. Who are these people? What do they believe? And why should it matter to your family and your local church? This isn't fear-mongering, it's education, because you can't guard against something you don't recognize, and this movement has tentacles in places you wouldn't expect. If you care about protecting your family and your church from false teaching that sounds Christ-centered, but it's not, this is essential. Drunk in the Spirit, it is streaming now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1095. Pope Urban II launches the First Crusade to reclaim Jerusalem from Muslim control. The crowd wildly shouts, "God wills it." There would be several crusades over the next centuries, with many tragic results and consequences lasting for centuries. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome back to Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks, guiding you through Todd's crazy campus adventures, better known as Witness Wednesday. And when we last left Todd, we also left you sitting on the edge of your seat. And I know, biting your fingernails in anticipation as Todd is having a conversation now with William. I know you're wondering just what it is that Todd said he was about to tip his hand to. What could it be? How is William going to react? Well, let's all find out together right now, shall we?
Let me tip my hand on something, William. I'm a Christian, okay? And it's been my experience that people who don't think that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago might be lacking some information in a couple of ways. Number one, they don't fully grasp who God is. You're a smart guy. So I'm gonna share something with you, philosophically, perhaps profound, right? You said that it's not a big deal, that there's really no consequences for our behavior here because of Jesus. I think justice is a big deal.
Yeah.
I think we have courts. I think we have police, because intuitively we sense when people do bad things, you got to pay for it.
Yes.
You've earned a payment.
Indeed.
It's jail. It's the death penalty. It's a fine. But you pay for your crimes. And I think the reason that we sense that justice is because it's really a reflection, that earthly reality is really just a reflection of what is going on in heaven. That God, by his very nature, is just. You use the term image bearers. We're image bearers. We have that inside of our noggins. We have a sense of justice because God himself is just. In fact, the Bible says the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. It's a big deal because he's not a sinner. He's holy.
Right.
He's pure. He's just. Everything that is right, he's it. And therefore, everything that is bad, he actually hates. And that's loving. Because if I said to you, William, what do you think about a guy who raped 20 women, slit their throats, and then put them down a sewer with Drano to get rid of their bodies? Do you think that guy deserves some justice?
Yeah, I do.
That's really awful,
yeah,
right?
There needs to be, again, the word accountability keeps coming up here. Yeah.
That's fair. Because God is so much higher and holier than we are, he hates that stuff too, because he loves justice. He hates rape. He hates murder. But he goes even deeper. Jesus said, you have heard of old, you shall not commit murder. But I say, if you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of judgment. So in other words, just thinking about hating somebody, God sees it, knows it, marks it, and we're in judgment because of it. He said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not look, or thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
In your heart, okay, yeah.
So God's standard is way higher. And that means when you and I break his laws, the punishment is more severe. Is that making sense?
Yeah, no, I do understand that. I must ask, is this almost like a, or could this go to a place of where the top conversation kind of goes to when it comes to this, where it's like, love the sinner, not the sin?
I was actually focusing on just understanding who God is and his nature is, and that he is indeed love. So here's the conundrum, right? You said that God loves people, and I agree with you, he does. But if God lets guilty criminals go without any sort of justice, any sort of payment for what they've done wrong, then he's unjust and he's not loving. Okay, it's not loving to let a rapist go for the person who got raped or for their family or for society. So justice demands a payment. God demands payment. So if he just goes, well, I just love my children, so I'm just going to forget about it, there's a big problem.
Right.
So what I'm backing up before we get to that cross business with you is an understanding of who God is and then an understanding of who we actually are. So let me just probe into your noggin for a minute, William.
By all means, it's a scary place.
I got that sense already, I'll be honest with you. All right, if we put a computer chip connected to your noggin and it recorded your thought life for a weekend, And we came back to the campus. We gathered everybody together, and we put that little chip into a computer up onto a big screen, and they saw what has been going through your mind. How would you feel?
I feel like they would realize I have no idea what I'm doing with math. Truly, that would be it. They would, it would be a bunch of frustration and equations.
You know what I'm driving at, and
maybe,
William.
Maybe some video games. I don't know, here and there. But seriously though, I don't really think we have much control over our thoughts, though. You know, you have those. You know, what is it called? The kind of like the background thoughts that you really aren't ever thinking about, but they're there. Yeah. You know, is that truly what the soul is, though?
Well, let's simplify it without getting into streamer thoughts and subconscious thoughts and dreams. I'm just talking about the stuff that's pretty obvious. All right. The imaginations, the lusts, the desires, the anger. No, we're just talking about thought life here. Okay. Not to mention the things that we do, whether in private or in public. Remember, God's standard, he sees the heart, not just the actions. So he sees what's behind it. So if you've dishonored your parents, if you've used his name in vain, if you've ever shaded the truth, that's a lie. If you've looked with lust, looked at pornography, that's more than adultery of the heart. It's using your body in an impure way. And God is super high and he's super holy and he sees those things. And while you and I might just go, well, boys will be boys, God doesn't see it that way. Okay, he sees sin as exceedingly sinful. And that means that the punishment for our sins against God is extremely severe. And you know what that place is for sinners, right?
Okay, yeah, hell. Okay. Yeah.
Describe hell for me.
Boy, do you watch Futurama? Have you ever watched Futurama? No? Guys, have you ever watched Futurama? All right, you know what I'm talking about. Perfect. The guys behind the camera know. All right. So I'm talking, you know, your viewers are probably like all about it. Like, oh yeah, Futurama. I know exactly what it's talking about. Robot hell. Fire, brimstone, all that. Raised Baptist. That's what I've come to known hell as, right? Yeah. Maybe another form of retribution. Yeah. You know, for what it is that we've done in our life.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. That's what it is. It is God's prison for sinners. Where that imagery from Futurama, very biblical. Lake of fire, weeping, gnashing of teeth, goes on for forever, ever. It's a terrible place because God is loving justice and punishing sinners for their crimes, not just committed against one another, but ultimately committed against him. All right. So now I just backed you up a little bit.
Okay.
I want you to use your imagination now, Mr. Futurama.
All right.
Let's go to the future. Whatever ripe age, God decides, I am calling William's number. Today is the day you get no more breath.
Okay.
And you stand before his judgment seat as if you are in the cosmic courtroom of God's justice. And the books are open, and he does have the computer chip to your brain. He does know the deeds that you have done in darkness. William's books are open. Mm. What should he do with William? Reward him or punish him?
Well, you know, I truly don't think that's up to me. If I were to answer the question, of course, I mean, you know, I would want to be rewarded. Who doesn't want to be rewarded? Who doesn't want to get the break of that Kit Kat bar, you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm full of them, man. I just keep going. I'm telling you.
I don't know whether to appreciate your cleverness or hit myself in the head with this microphone.
You know, I usually go one or two ways, and you just named both of them with in regard to my interaction with people. So yeah, it works. No, truly, I would want to, of course, be rewarded, but that wouldn't be up to me. It would truly, you know, be up to him. I would like to think that I have done things thus far, in terms of the way that, you know, God would want me to go about things. But again, you know, I've got this walk of life right now. I told you previously, like, I'm like a child. Like, I truly don't know in depth what it is, you know, God is necessarily looking for me to do. All I know is I take the road that I think God has given me, and that has proven thus far good.
I know it's up to him. Like, if you got 20 tickets, you go before the judge, you're going to say, well, it's up to the judge because he's the one in authority, right? All right, so here you brought it. Here was your objection. You basically said, Your Honor, I, William, I've indeed broken those laws, but I've done good things. I'm perhaps not as bad as Adolf Hitler or Genghis Khan. Therefore, your plea is, let me go, right? I want to reason with you, William. If you tried that to get off of 20 tickets, Your Honor, I've got 20 speeding tickets, but there's many times I didn't speed. In fact, there's many times I went under the speed limit, and sometimes I used my car to pick up bakery to bring it to my neighbor next door, who's a housebound elderly woman. What is the judge going to say to you?
Oh, and again, we have to stop and take a break, pay the bills, take a pause for the calls. These cliffhangers are killing me today. You guys okay? Are you making it through? I know your heart is just racing. Hang tight. We'll be back with more William and Todd on a Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio.